Legacy from the Stars by Dolores Cannon. 1996. Information obtained through regressive hypnosis about several cases where the subjects relived other lifetimes as inhabitants on other planets in strange environments. Chapter 1. The majority of human beings on Earth today tend to think that aliens and extraterrestrials are to be feared. They look different, act differently, show emotion in different ways, or the lack of emotion. Since they seem to be different, they cannot possibly understand humans. Therefore, they must be evil and coming to Earth to harm us in some way. This is normal human logic. We always fear what we don't understand. But this book will expose how this concept is basically false. We have been conditioned to think this way through science fiction movies and literature that we have been exposed to all our life. Even UFO investigators have focused on presumed negative qualities of the cases. In the last several decades, TV shows and movies like Star Trek, E.T. the Extraterrestrial, Close Encounters, are trying to present a more positive picture. In my work, I have discovered they are more like us than different from us. This is because we have all been aliens in other lifetimes. We are all extraterrestrial, because none of us originated on the planet Earth. This is merely a temporary stopover, compared to the enormous age of the universe in which we live. The Earth is a relatively young planet. Thousands of other worlds throughout the galaxy have been peopled, and were evolving for millions of years before our planet reached the stage when it cooled down enough to support life. The advancement of other civilizations and cultures in the far reaches of our universe is so incredible that it cannot be imagined by our mortal minds. Thousands of worlds have been born and have died before ours was even conceived. Our eternal soul is immortal. It has been around forever and it will continue to be around forever, even after the demise of this small planet. Thus, it is logical to say this has not been our only home. Through the process of reincarnation, we have all lived on other planets and in other dimensions, and we will continue to do so after our lessons on Earth have been completed. Earth is merely a school, one of many in our long education. When we leave here, we hopefully graduate to another grade, otherwise we have to come back and repeat lives, or classes, until we have learned the lessons. The terms old soul and young soul are often used in connection with spirits incarnating on Earth. An old soul is considered to be one that has had many Earth lives. A young soul is one that has recently decided to come to Earth. They may have lived many other lives on other worlds, and just recently decided to accept the unique challenges and limitations of our world. Our wonderful planet Earth is unique because it has been granted free will. It also is one of the few left in our galaxy that still experiences violence and war. A soul coming here has to be prepared to learn harsh lessons of how to cope with others of a violent nature, and of how to experience emotions. The emotions on Earth are much stronger than on other worlds. There is pain and suffering here that would never occur in other realities. On some worlds, emotion is not known or understood. This explains the curiosity of some alien species who are observing our culture. It is difficult for them to understand how human beings can harm each other so callously. By incarnating on this world, we have agreed to accept the limitations, the challenges, to experience emotions, and to learn lessons. It is not easy, because the lessons are often tremendously harsh, but the rewards to the soul's growth are tremendous. Once the soul comes to Earth, it is caught up into karma. Then the soul must continue to come back until all of the incurring debt has been paid. Even alien spirits, or as I prefer to call them, the Star Children, know the risk they are taking by incarnating here. They cannot escape being caught up into karma, because they are interacting with human beings. They know the risk before 1, 2, legacy from the stars, coming into the human body, but many of them have agreed to accept the challenge because they know that Earth needs help. This help will most likely come from these gentle souls that have never experienced hate and violence. They are the infusion of new blood, that hopefully will turn our world away from violence, and lift it into the new vibration, the new world that is to come. I believe these beautiful creatures have difficulty existing in our chaotic world, because they can be overwhelmed by the emotions and conditions here. They have had no experience to prepare them for what they will find. The subject of these aliens' souls incarnating in human bodies is explored in depth in my book, Keepers of the Garden. Another definition of a young soul is one that is having its first experience ever in a physical body. There are a countless number of spirits that have never left the side of God since the creation of the universe. These are the ones who have been minding the store, so to speak. There are innumerable jobs for them to do in the spirit realm. Many of these have had no desire to incarnate, but prefer the quieter life on the other side. These are beings referred to as angels, guardians, guides or master teachers. They have important roles to play, and when we are between lives, in the so-called dead state, we are very much aware of these beings, and we have much communication with them. This subject is explored more fully in my book Between Death and Life. If these entities were to decide to come to Earth, it would be for a specific purpose. They would be noticeable because their purity and lack of prejudice would cause them to stand out. I have often thought that individuals such as Jesus and Buddha were divine masters, who had no remaining karma to repay on Earth, but merely came to try and teach the human race how to live in peace and harmony. We all know what happens to brave souls such as these whose message is misunderstood. I was unaware of all of this when I began my work in regressive hypnosis in 1979. I have been greatly educated by the subjects I have worked with. The information I have gained is, the alien memories surface, 3, enormous and has resulted in the writing of 10 books to date, and it seems as though I will continue to gain knowledge and to write about it the rest of my life. My work has been in the field of past life therapy. This field of therapy has grown tremendously since I first began to practice it. In those early days it was considered to be offbeat or off the wall, something only practiced by New Age cooks. It is now being considered a valuable tool, and many professionals are desiring to learn it and add it to their repertoire. It has passed the test of time, and been proven to be very helpful in the treatment of difficult cases. Past life therapy is a form of hypnosis where the answers to problems in this lifetime are often found in other lifetimes. Often answers can be found by regressing the subject into the forgotten early years of this lifetime. But there are many other cases that defy explanation by any events occurring in the present lifetime. In these cases, the solutions can often relate to events that occurred hundreds of years ago. Many times it is related to trauma, especially the manner of death in the former life, and sometimes a repetitive pattern has been set up through a series of lives. In these cases the soul pattern is caught in a rut, so to say, and they don't understand how they can get out. The answers can often be found by examining the lives and the pattern. The subconscious is the record keeper of all the events that have ever occurred in our present life, and also all the events from our other countless lives. People often ask me, why can't I consciously remember these past lives? It is easy to see why it is best that these be repressed. It would be overwhelming to our conscious mind if we were walking around with the memories of other lives and other injustices constantly bombarding us in our waking state. The subconscious has wisely chosen to suppress these so we can concentrate on the job we have to do in this life. They are there in the memory banks and they can be accessed if needed. But for a healthy, normal life it is better if they stay repressed. One of the problems that can arise is that the subconscious has no sense of time. It does not realize that it is now inhabiting a different body, where certain physical problems no longer exist, 4, legacy from the stars, and do not apply. In its role as protector and guardian of the body, it can often innocently create problems where none should exist. An example is a case I worked on where a woman greatly desired to have a child, yet all her pregnancies were resulting in miscarriages. The doctors told her there were no physical reasons for this to keep occurring. In past life therapy it was discovered that she had died in childbirth in her last lifetime. So through the logic of the subconscious mind, it chose to protect her in the only way it knew. It decided to keep her from becoming pregnant so she would not die again. My hypnotic therapy was designed to convince the subconscious that the soul was now in a different body that was healthy, and pregnancy would not cause the same problems. Once the subconscious agreed to cooperate, the woman had normal pregnancy within the year. Amazing results can often happen in only one session if the cause can be tracked to other lives or a pattern of lives. Still, it is not a magic formula, or a magic button one can push and have instant results. As in any therapy, you must have the cooperation of the subject. Past life therapy has given them the answer, but it is then up to them to apply it to their life. No one can do it for them. I work mainly with a somnambulist state of trance. My technique quickly puts the subject into this deep level. I have been doing this type of past life therapy since 1979, but now my work in hypnosis has mostly become associated with history. This is because in the course of my work I have found many fascinating cases where the subjects relived lives in important times in history, or when they were associated with important people. When the subject is in the somnambulistic level of trance, it is similar to going through a time tunnel. Their present lifetime fades away, and they are totally immersed in the other lifetime. They are literally there in every respect, and thus can provide enormous amounts of information that cannot be uncovered by conventional methods. I really believe history should be studied in this way, because the information is so accurate. I have done extensive research in these lives, and have recovered missing parts of the alien memories, surface, 5, historical data. I consider myself the reporter, the researcher, the accumulator of lost knowledge. This soon became obvious when I saw that my books were following a pattern. They were recapturing historical knowledge that has been lost, distorted or incorrectly recorded. It seemed to be my job to get this important knowledge back and present it again to mankind. The hidden, the unknown, greatly fascinates me, and I seem to be drawn to anything I do not understand. Thus I have been led down many strange pathways in this pursuit, and my patience in research has been rewarded. But I often feel as though I am only scratching the surface, and that there is much more for me to explore. To this end I have dedicated my life. In 1987 my work was extended and took yet another strange twist. I began investigating UFO cases, and I was called in to conduct hypnosis in suspected abduction cases. These resulted in two books about my findings, Keepers of the Garden, and The Legend of Star Crush. I have so much information now about this fascinating topic that I have had to categorize it into several books. A future book will contain specific cases and my theories about them. This present book, Legacy from the Stars, will follow a different direction. These were cases where no alien involvement was suspected. In supposed abduction cases, the subject had conscious memories of strange events, or strange dreams. In my early days as an investigator, I thought the person had to have a conscious recollection of a sighting or an encounter. Then I discovered this was not always the case. Many times in my work I found the stories of alien involvement coming forth through what I thought would be a normal past life regression. This was totally unexpected and often fervently denied afterwards. Neither I nor my subject knew it would come out. But once the door had been opened, I always felt obligated to explore it. I had to know why the story had chosen the time to come forth. The results have often been startling. So this book contains the cases of people who were aliens in other lifetimes, or had encounters that they tucked away in their subconscious and never remembered again. 6. Legacy from the Stars. Since my book Keepers of the Garden came out, I have received many letters from people who feel so alienated and out of place here, that they are sure they must also be star children. Mostly out of curiosity, they desire to explore this possibility through regressive hypnosis. In my work I have found it is better to seek understanding of the life you are living now, then you can have better understanding of what you were in past lives. There are many people who have difficulty accepting the idea that they have lived more than once. They would have an even greater difficulty accepting the thought of living elsewhere in the universe and being something which they would term utterly alien. In these cases it would do them more harm than good to seek this knowledge. The present lifetime is the most important lifetime of all, and is the one that should be focused upon. Any other information gained from past lives should be treated as a curiosity and applied to the understanding of this life. In this type of work, it is important to have an open mind. Once you say, "But that cannot be. It does not fit the pattern of what I believe exists," then you close the door on wonderful possibilities. When an incredible case presents itself, I can think of a million questions to ask. I feel I must try to understand the ununderstandable. In this way, my mind has been expanded by many new ideas and theories that I would never have considered if I had continued in what I knew or believed to be true. My mind would never have been open to these new possibilities if I had contended that they did not fit the accepted pattern, or that because they sounded crazy they could not be true. Truth is relevant. My truth may not be the same as someone else's truth, but that does not make either truth invalid. It just means that it has to be looked at from a different viewpoint, perhaps a viewpoint that has never been considered before. And thus my world and viewpoint continues to expand. I hope my books will provide the same avenue to other adventurous souls who want to know what lies beyond the accepted norm. So read this with an open mind, with the alien memories, surface, 7, all preconceived notions pushed to the side. Suspend belief and see where it leads. I have promised to protect the identity of my subjects, because in some areas of our country past lives, reincarnation, plus extraterrestrials adds up to ridicule. So in the cases that follow, the names have been changed to protect the innocent, as the saying goes. Chapter 2, T_Zaf_TF_Tasks_FBB_W. Terry was a young man in his 30s, whose occupation involved electronics. He traveled and repaired equipment in various factories in our area. He had been raised as a strict Roman Catholic, but did not consider himself especially religious. When a regression of this type occurs, the first thing I am asked about is the subject's religious beliefs, as through that may influence the material in some way. I have found that it does not matter whether the person is religious or not. It makes no difference what faith they belong to, or even if they have no religious beliefs at all. When they are in deep trance, all such dogma is bypassed. You are dealing with the subconscious and its memories of all of this life, as well as all of the former lives. The information and the answers always follow a pattern, and are untarnished by any religious training or lack thereof. This is one of the unusual phenomena involved in my work. I had been working with Terry for a few weeks. The past lives that had been coming forth were mundane, yet they seemed to have importance to him. This is often the case. I may see nothing relevant in the past life, yet it may contain one small piece of information that holds the key and only makes sense to the subject. This is the reason I tape record all my sessions, and I-9-10, Legacy from the Stars, always give the subject the tape to take home with them. It is important for them to hear their own voice relating the story. Often the answer may lie in a certain phrase or the voice inflection while describing a scene. There are many details that could escape notice by the therapist, but could hold the world of importance to the subject. After all, the session is very personal to them, and often they are the only one who knows what they are really looking for. At this session in 1984, I was expecting more of the same simple lives to come forth, but the results were totally unexpected. At the time, I was working on the first drafts of my book Jesus and the Essence. I do not know if that influenced my mindset, but I had enough material to work with on that book. I wasn't looking for any more along that line, especially dealing with alien involvement. In that book, there was an indication that the Star of Bethlehem may have been something other than a natural phenomenon. The description definitely sounded more like a spacecraft, or several appearing together. It was also indicated that UFOs had appeared on a regular basis at Qumran, the home of the Essens in Israel, where Jesus was taught in his early years. The Essens said that the Watchers were pleased with their preservation of the ancient knowledge that had been handed down to them from their forefathers in Atlantis. These indications were startling enough, and I was not expecting to find any more information dealing with the story of Jesus. I apologize if this story disturbs anyone's religious beliefs. I respect beliefs, and I try to never go against anyone's theological education. I am only the reporter telling what I uncovered. In 1984, I had not yet begun to work on UFO cases, so I was surprised at the alien overtones of this session. The tape has been filed away, waiting its inclusion in one of my books. I believe it belongs in this one, despite the religious connotations. Terry was in a deep trance and moved into a past life. We had been working in the time period of the 1800s, so I was surprised when he saw himself in desert surroundings. I presumed his subconscious has brought up this past life for a purpose, so I, aliens as angels of old, 11, listened as he described the scene he found himself in. He saw himself standing on white sand with a mountain in the background. He also saw tents with striped canopies that he said belonged to a traveling caravan. When he looked at himself, he saw that he was a dark-skinned old man dressed in a one-piece tunic and wearing leather-strapped sandals. I asked what he was doing out there in the desert. We're getting water and supplies for the women and children who are at the camp, which is in the hills. We had come down from the hills to this caravan of merchants to buy supplies for those who are in the hills. Have the people in the hills run out of supplies? They have not depleted their supplies, but have used them to a point where it is necessary to replenish them. This is a traveling caravan of merchants who travel the deserts and wilderness to supply the groups of people who live in these remote areas. There is a trade which flourishes by supplying those who live in the desert and wilderness. I see. What is your name? Hassan. Phonetic, I repeated it. I have difficulty with these names sometimes. Do you know the name of this country? Does the country have a name? It would be in what is now Israel. It was called something at that time, only not in those words. There was a translation. You said you are an old man? Yes, uncertain. 68 years old. Did you come a long way from the hills? Several miles, approximately 3.5 miles. I think that's very good if you can walk that far at your age. The health is good, for there has always been work to do, and work is healthy. So I have been blessed with this healthy body. The journey was not rugged, it was merely long. For the hills were not steep but were sloping, and so it was as walking down a sloping path. 12 Legacy from the stars. Were there many of you that came for the supplies? They numbered around 15. How are you going to get the supplies back to the people? There are mules, which are pack mules. The supplies are packed and carted on the mules. Where you live in the hills, is that a town or a city or something? It is merely a loose band of people who have decided to live in the wilderness, in order to observe God's laws and to purify themselves and to learn. For there is much to learn, without the distractions of the cities. You said to learn God's laws. What God do you worship? Yahweh. Yahweh is his name. And you thought you must isolate yourself to worship him? To learn of him, for those in the cities do not learn of him. They do not wish to learn of him. It is necessary to remove oneself from the noise and the bustle of the cities and to listen to the quiet, to the voices which speak. And in this way one can learn and can hear Yahweh speak to him. That makes sense. Does your religion have a name? We call ourselves the group of the Whispering Sands, for we believe we hear Yahweh speak in the whispering of the sands, in the wind which blows through the desert. Wasn't it dangerous to locate yourself where there would be a lack of supplies? There is no danger from the animals. We are not afraid. And it is merely a matter of contacting one of these traveling caravans and explaining where the group is. The caravan will then see to it that a route is established. What do you buy the goods with? There is bartering which is done. What do you use for your medium of exchange to barter with? We use money. Shekels is one term which is used. Is that a coin or what? Yes, it is a coin, a Roman coin. Aliens as angels of old. 13. I was wondering how you would get money out there in the middle of nowhere. There are those who are of wealth who have money. There are also sales of lambs and sheep, for we raise sheep. Is there any other form of money? Other names for money? T. We wish not to speak of money, for those who speak of money are not interested in anything but money. So we please ask not to speak so much of money. D. That's all right. I was just trying to get some facts. I'm not interested in money myself, so I can understand what you mean. What is your occupation with this group? What is your work? T. Goat herder. Raise goats and kill goats, for we use much from the goats. Their milk and their hides and their meat, and so I raise goats. D. Do you know what year this is? Does the year have a number? T. There is no record in our group of the time, for we are not interested in marking time. D. You don't keep track of the seasons or the years in any way then? T. We note the seasons of course, for the seasons change. We find no need to mark the time however. His voice sounded old. D. Is your religion similar to the Jewish religion? Do you know that name? T. We feel we have no religion other than a belief in He who is and protects. This is not a religion, this is a belief.